Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires we call the interwebs is Joe Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
I don't think it's how am I doing. I think it's how are you doing. You did not crack near as high this week as you did last week. Tell are you feeling okay? Are you getting enough sleep?
No.
But
I'm feeling better.
Are you taking any drugs?
No.
Are you masturbating twice a day?
No.
Okay. We're not going to repeat episode 69. We just got to make sure you're doing okay.
Okay.
Me? I'm tits up. I love it. I'm doing great. I've got less than 3 weeks till I get to go home. I mean, granted.
And 2 weeks. And it's less than 3 weeks till the Comic-Con.
Yeah, I knew you were going to rub that in. You know, never mind the fact that I'm not going to be there. This will be the first Cray-free Comic-Con in a long time.
No, there are a lot of Cray-free Comic-Cons.
Oh, no. There's only one.
That's Cray-free. There's Toronto. That's
only
Cray-free.
One that I missed that I can talk about. The rest of
You haven't gone to WonderCon. You haven't gone to DragonCon.
There's things
they're all crazy.
You forget. I'm with Homeland Security. There are things I can't necessarily talk about. However, I can talk about SpringCon, even though I won't be there. It's May 19th and 20th at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds in the grandstand. 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. both days. 100,000 square feet of comic book actions. Tons of guests. They're up on the Midwest Comic Book Association Facebook page. It's on their website at midwestcomicbook.com. Super huge marketplace from dealers all over sector 2813. Buying and selling, trading bazillions of comic books from all eras, publishers, shapes, sizes, and formats. Free grab bags. And a can of food for admission. They give you a buck off. You know, we're going to be gabbing about SpringCon probably in the next week or two, you know, a little more extensively. So we won't get into it. Again, if you want to look at anything, MidwestComicBook.com, the Facebook page, Midwest Comic Book Association, Google it, Twitter it, whatever it. They even have a MySpace page. That's how extensive coverage will be for SpringCon.
My what?
Oh, MySpace page, Corey. Yeah, how's that going for you?
What's MySpace?
I know you have one because I found it the other day.
And how long has it been since I've been there?
It's still there.
Yeah, but, I don't think I've visited it since 2007.
Are you like one of these garbage people that just hold on to old things and just hang, never get rid of it? Are we going to need an intervention here? See, folks, I told you.
Only an intervention for redheads.
Something wrong with Corey.
No, there's something great with me.
Oh, well, that's a first. I mean, what is it?
We've got sponsors, ladies Woo-hoo! And gentlemen.
You mean I won't be doing this for free? I can finally call up Department of Homeland Security and tell them, take this job in. You know what?
No.
Oh, damn.
But we do have a sponsor, and that's DreamHost.com.
Dreamy.
It is. They're a web host. They are the host for the Solitaire Rose family of websites. If not for DreamHost, would we have the spacious Solitaire Rose mansion? Would we have the spacious Solitaire Rose compound? No. Well, because we've got a website, and you need a website. You're nothing without a website.
Nothing without a website. Kevin Smith is not. Right. Kevin Smith has a website.
Smith has a website.
George Takei has a website.
Mark Evanier has a website.
Netflix has a website.
Why don't you have a website? You can go to DreamHost.com, put in the code CRAZY, and you get $20 off your first year, which means it's less than $100 to set up a website. Do it.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. Unless you're a loser.
You don't want to be a loser.
No, you don't want to be a loser.
Nope.
So, We didn't get to Joe's New York adventure last week, but I have an adventure this week.
Ooh, adventure time.
Joe, I have hot water again.
Really? Are you running like a big hose from your neighbor?
No.
Hey, you realize Corey lives
in they found out about that.
So, I mean, that's not an uncommon occurrence. I think they that's how out. Corey gets cable.
No, it's a... I figured out, yeah, we had to pay for it and everything. And Sunday night, I'm at work, and one of my coworkers is in, and he's a handyman. And I'll be honest, Joe, I'd rather pay a friend or somebody I know than call, you know, a plumber or Home Depot or whatever. So I told him, you know, hey, I'm going to be buying a hot water heater on Wednesday for my house. Would you be able to install it? And I told him I'd rather pay you than, you know, some company. And he said, oh, sure, that'd be great. Just tell me when on Wednesday. And I said, well, I do the overnight, so I'm probably going to wake up around 2, go buy the water heater. And then any time after that works for me. And he said, great, I have that day off. Wonderful. So Wednesday comes, and I text him, hey, going to pick up the water heater. Let me know when you're going to be here. And I go to Home Depot. And I buy the hot water heater, and it doesn't fit in my car.
What kind of car is that, Corey?
It's a Trish Stratus. I mean a Dodge Stratus.
You know.
You know. So I get the, I go back inside, and I go, this doesn't fit in my car. What are my options? Well, first they wanted to deliver it. Now, I live about a mile and a half from Home Depot, and they said, well, delivery is $79. And I almost felt like, you know, I could buy a dog and a sled, and it would get to my house cheaper.
True.
And I said, well, that's a little too expensive. What other options do you have? They, well, you know, you can rent a truck, and it's $19 for 75 minutes.
Corey's driving a truck. Driving a big old truck, pedal to the metal, never mind.
I prefer the song Highway 40 by Brack.
I thought you were going to, you know, jump in and start going, mercy sakes alive, we got us a convoy.
So they, you know, I fill out more paperwork. It takes 15 minutes to fill out the paperwork. I go out, get the truck, put the water heater on it, bring it to the house, take it off, go back, give them the keys back. Took longer to fill out the paperwork than I had the truck for. And as I brought the keys back in, they went, oh, are you having trouble finding the truck? I went, no, I'm done. Really? Yeah.
He knows
well,
a few
that
short-
was quick.
And he I knows said, a few yeah. shortcuts. As long as is the cops don't catch him, he's good.
Is there any way I could get a discount because I didn't? No, it's still $19. So Wednesday I call. Because I hadn't gotten a text back, and he said, oh, yeah, I'm kind of busy till 6, but I'll give you a call. So, you know, I need to get back to sleep. I got an overnight shift. So I stay up.
Fortunately, the people he works with doesn't really care what Corey smells like.
Obviously.
Yeah. Especially the one that's always trying to kiss you.
Well, that's a resident.
And oh. So you got that going for you.
Why, yes, I do.
Which is nice.
Although she's not trying to kiss me anymore at night.
You played it too hard. You're playing it too hard to get, I tell you. That's your problem with women. You just play too hard to get.
No, she keeps grabbing my ass.
Well, I do too, but, you know, that's a different subject. No, no, we're not going back to episode 69. Let's forward.
So, I wait, and I fall asleep. And my alarm on my phone, because I fell asleep on the couch waiting for the guy, the alarm on my phone goes off. Oh, crap, it's 9 o'clock. And the water heater's still sitting out there. So I throw my gym bag in the car.
Just because you have a water heater doesn't mean it will automatically heat water. You do have to hook it up to something.
That's what I was paying the guy for.
Yeah.
But he knows
you know, I want everybody to take that particular phrase and isolate it and turn it into the most dirty thing you can think of. Send it to me, and we'll have a contest for it. The misquoted Strode.
So I stop at the gym, get a quick shower, go on to work. And when the guy comes in at 6 a.m., I go, are you still able to put in the water heater? He says, no, I got to work today, and I got tired yesterday and decided I'd just stay home. I didn't say, so you didn't bother to call and you didn't want my money. Okay.
I got to wipe off my laptop. I just sprayed it with ocean spray.
So I talked to one of my other coworkers, and she says, yeah, well, my husband does stuff like that. Now, he's got to work today, but he could be over tomorrow.
Oh, this ain't
because that's his day. Oh, how much would, you know, what ballpark figure? She goes, I'm not going to charge you too much because I just want him to get the hell out of the house for the day.
So she's got that going for her.
So Thursday.
Ladies, that's one of the services our friend Corey Strode offers. Need your husband out of the house for the day? Just give him a call. Hot water heaters, hanging out at souffle bars, reading comic books, whatever. Give Corey a call.
So Friday they come over.
555. Oh no, go ahead.
Friday they come over and spend the afternoon putting the water heater in. Get that all done. And, you know, I wait the half hour. And he had turned it all the way up, saying, you know, well, you know, we want it to heat up fast, so we're going to turn it all the way up. And then when you figure out where, you know, here are the different notches, and here's this, and here's that. No, no, no.
I'd like a warm, very warm, hot McDonald's coffee.
Wow. First appearance by the crickets.
Hey, that was a good one.
I wait an hour, and I go, and I turn on the water in the kitchen. And at first it comes out, and it's only lukewarm, and I go, ugh. And about 30 seconds later, there's steam coming off the water. And I'm like, this is wonderful. I go in and I take the longest shower I've ever taken in my life, Joe.
I wondered, you know, there was like this.
There
was a report online from the EPA that an incredible brown stain suddenly appeared in the Mississippi River near Chaska. And they traced it back up the Minnesota River to Chaska, but after that they lost the trail, so.
You know how much I liked having,
they do have a $10,000 fine for whoever turns in the culprit who did it. So, hey, you know, this podcast could be worth $10,000.
And you could buy 100 web pages.
Yes. Or you could just disappear in obscurity, kind of like the Marvel contest did. This could be worth $100,000. Sure.
So, shower, and all that. And I do laundry. And then, you know, about 3 hours later, laundry. You know,
oh,
what
hang
I say?
On a second. I promised I'd put on pants this week.
You know what I did about 3 hours later, Joe? Just because I could?
Wait, whoa. This is not episode 69.
I took a second shower.
Wow. That is, dude, okay, girls, we got to get Corey laid. Somebody give me an email and we just figure this out, okay? It could be sympathy. It could be whatever. We'll figure something out.
And then this morning I took another shower, and this time I shaved afterward because I was starting to feel like a hobo.
And it's mine, and I can wash it as long as I want.
I feel wonderful. That's my adventure this week.
It's pretty.
Joe, did you have an adventure this week?
No.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.
Well, last weekend.
We like the least. We still like better than the one you like the most.
Shortest podcast ever. Yeah, no, last weekend was raining like a sumbitch. And it just was one of those. I mean, I woke up and I looked outside and everything was dry. And I was thinking, oh, okay, I can do this. Better check weather.com. Not that they pay a squat for mentioning them. And sure enough, coming up the East Coast was just this humongous blob of rain. And about 2 hours later, it hit, and it just rained, and it rained, and the rain came down and down, down, down. I didn't have to jump in a bucket and float around with Eeyore, but it could have been worse. Our good friends in the western part of Pennsylvania got 14 inches of snow. So I stayed in. I dorked around on Facebook. I watched a few videos. Monday, I stayed in. I dorked around on Facebook. I watched a few videos. Yeah, we did make shish kebabs, I should say, the crew here. That was about the biggest fun we had.
Did you watch any, did you read any comic books?
Oddly enough, I had read all my comic books on Wednesday. Not the best planning. When I first got here, I mean, I'd pick up comics on Wednesday and I wouldn't read them till like maybe Monday. But lately, because of the whole Avengers versus X-Men that I'm geeking on, I've just been reading it as they come out. I can't wait. I got to read them. The other thing too, like we talked about in the last podcast, if you got through all that filth and foul and foul and filth, you know, I'm kind of,
it was dirty.
It wasn't, but we're clean now because Corey got hot water.
Yes.
I'm in a hotel. I have all the hot water.
I should go get a shower again.
We're doing this podcast from Corey's shower. Set the world record for longest shower. Unfortunately, he only brought an 8-gallon tank, so he'll be done in about a half hour. Should we just go into geeking and freaking?
Oh, why not?
Sure. Now I know.
I'm frightened, Joe.
Why?
We're 20 minutes into this here podcast and we're starting to do comic books.
Well, I'll try to get into New York. Actually, the only New York adventure I really had is when I was working at Newark, I saw the Enterprise fly by the airport.
So they're filming the new Star Trek movie there?
I wish. They actually filmed some Avenger here while I was here. But,
are you in it?
No, actually, I take that back.
Do you play Stan Lee?
No, I'm the guy who was on top of the Stark Tower flinging poo at everybody.
Oh, so you're King Kong.
Exactly. No,
they cut that out of both versions of King Kong. Although it might have been in the 76 version. I haven't seen that.
No, that can explain why there was brown all over the street down there. Anyways, the space shuttle, as you might have missed, the space shuttle Enterprise, the one they dropped from a 747 back in the 70s to see if the bloody thing could even fly.
The one I stayed home from school for probably 3 or 4 times because they kept saying it will launch today.
No, this one didn't launch.
It would scrub the launch.
This wasn't a launcher. This was the one, prototype.
This was the prototype.
Yeah, and all the geeks that went nuts and said, oh, rename it Enterprise. And NASA said, okay. And they had George Takei and they had Leonard Nimoy and I think everybody but Shatner was there. And then they discovered, no, this
Shatner was so busy with his massive career making movies like,
Fighters.
What the hell was Shatner doing in the 70s other than bitching?
I think he was doing a lot of low grade theater and some television. I mean, he did that one Hallmark Civil War thing that got a lot of attention.
Well, I'm kind of glad he wasn't hanging out with Bob Crane because that could have ended poorly.
And he didn't. He definitely wasn't with Gordon Jump because we covered everything you need to know about Gordon Jump.
I just made a crude Bob Crane reference, ladies and gentlemen. Can it get more obscure?
True, true. It's not like we're any type of heroes here. But I looked up and I looked. There were people standing at the window with their little cell phone cameras. And I was like, oh, the Enterprise is coming. I looked up, and it just happened to go through this series of windows. You know, it was a vertical series. It was just perfect, just right through the middle. And I was trying to tell my coworkers it was there. And I think I said, which is pretty much the same thing I say when a hot redhead walks by. But they happen to look.
Hey, I'm the one who likes the redheads.
Hey, I married one. What can I say? But I looked up. And there it was. It was just perfect. And of course, you know, it got a lot of headlines because what they did is they took it from the Smithsonian where they're putting the Discovery, which actually is one of the two surviving shuttles that didn't blow up or burn up. They're putting the one there, and then the Enterprise they're bringing to the USS Intrepid, which I gabbed about in my first New York adventure. And they'll have that set up in June, and of course, if I'm lucky, I'll be home by then. But still,
although I don't know, I saw on the news you might be going to L.A.
Which one?
Well, did you hear about what happened to the TSA guys in L.A.?
Oh yeah, the drug runners.
Yeah.
The only thing is, L.A.'s got so many people, and they busted four for doing it specifically, and it was two that had already been quit and two that were doing it, you know. Basically what they were doing, and you can always Google this crap. I think TSAisidiots.com is a good place to start. But, you know, they were taking bribes to let drug runners come through. So when they were on the x-ray and you see a big blob, you know, you'd look up and say, oh, it's a guy who paid me money. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, let him go. You know, generally, if we find drugs, we're not looking for drugs because, face it, drugs don't usually blow up planes or fly them into buildings. But if we find them, if you're stupid enough to let us find them, you get to talk to a guy with a different type of badge and who's probably heavily armed. You know, so that's, I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying don't do it. Well, these Bobos did it, and they're going to pay the price. And, of course, meanwhile, we TSA agents have the same credibility and trustworthiness as most Catholic priests.
Wait, I haven't heard about you. Never mind.
No,
we'll let that go.
I got none.
That's your problem.
I got none.
Yeah.
But I do have my pants on. I did say that was my New York adventure. Actually, it was more of a Newark adventure. So,
Geeking and Freaking has a sponsor too. And guess what? We're looking for new sponsors.
We are.
So if you would like to sponsor a segment or just be a sponsor on Crazy Comics,
we're not fussy.
Anything like that. Email me at corey.strode@gmail.com and you too can be a sponsor. And, We have all sorts of packages available, but we're not going to talk about them because Joe has his pants on.
This is not episode 69.
So what are you geeking on, Joe?
Well, I already mentioned Avengers versus X-Men, the three crossovers this week. At first, I wasn't overtly impressed with, but then I realized these are mostly fill-in-the-blank stuff because the thing with the main Avengers versus X-Men is it's like, you'll see the brief battle between Magneto and Iron Man. Well, to see the full battle, you need to pick up the limited 6-issue miniseries, Avengers versus the X-Men, where they actually flesh out the battle. And the first one is Invincible Iron Man versus Magneto with Adam Kubert art, which made it fun. And then they did a Thing versus Namor with Stuart Immonen. Unlike the main series, there is a winner in these battles. The Secret Avengers, number 26, deals with the group that went out to meet the Phoenix Force. The New Avengers deals with the Mystic Society, wherever the Iron Fist comes from, which I guess ties in.
Kunlun.
Yeah. And those are two of the issues that I was like, meh. But I'm kind of like, you know, they're building background and, you know, reading the pre-interviews on different online things, they actually, it's going to tie in later. So I'm hoping for the payoff. Basically, to quote Corey when he's dealing with Texas Hold'em, Redheads, or Pie, I'm all in on this. I picked up Uncanny X-Men as well, number 11. And that one was a little better because I actually saw they have more of the Hulk versus Juggernaut or Colossus fight. And that actually was a pretty good crossover, but they all end in the same spot. And the ending of Uncanny X-Men was actually kind of cool. So I'm geeking on the crossovers. And, of course, this week, round three.
River dance, everyone. River dance.
Well, that's good because I went to a wedding. I went to Archie number 632, where Archie marries Valerie.
Valerie from Josie and the Pussycats.
Yep. And what happened was, is this is one of those part two of four things where she takes a left and goes down memory lane versus red circle, or it's memory lane and red circle drive. And this is where we saw the possible future weddings of Archie Betty and Archie Veronica, which are now their own series. And I called up my comic shop and I said, just, you know what, pull me Archie. For $2.99, I've been picking up Archie on and off for the better part of the year. You know, I picked up the Kiss crossover, which was fun. I picked up the wedding issues, which were 600 to 605. I picked up when they brought back all the old Red Circle, old Archie characters in a massive crossover. I've just been having fun with this book. So I just figured, what the heck, pick it up. But the one that really surprised me, that I really enjoyed the snot out of, IDW is publishing Popeye in I believe it's original story, but in the classic comic strip style. I believe it's a mini series, like four issues. And I picked up number one. It's interesting because it's not on glossy paper, but the story has the classic characters in it, the way they were drawn back in the comic strips. And if you like Popeye at all, this is definitely worth picking up. It's a lot of fun. And they also, in the back issue, they have the Fan Graphics ad where you get the complete Thimble Theater newspaper strip dailies, full color collections. These are oversized ones. I think I've got 3 out of the 6. I got to finish the run. And, if you're a classic Popeye fan, it's a lot of fun. Plus, the first issue is in it's a spoof of Action Comics number 1. So it's always fun to read that type of stuff. Writer is Roger Langridge, artist Bruce Ozella, colors Luke McDonald, letterer Bruce Ozella. I got to get hats off to everybody because when I first started looking at this a couple times, I thought it was actual comic strips. I didn't realize it was original until I got to the back and started reading some of the different blurbs about it. So we haven't succumbed to the, 3 geeks, 5 geeks, whatever, thumbs up, thumbs down. But if we did, I would give this one my highest rating. So what you waiting for?
Cool.
Put this podcast on pause. Go out and get yourself a copy. We're still here.
You know, put it on your MP3 player and listen to it as you're walking to the comic shop.
Oh, man. See, Corey is full of it. I mean, good ideas. Yeah.
I didn't get to read very many comics this week because I was busy dealing with my water heater. And
they're all dirty and greasy. You don't want to be putting fingerprints on them gorgeous black covers. I tell you when I started to read my souvenir book from the Empire State Building, and it's a glossy black cover, and every time I touch the damn thing, there's a new fingerprint on it.
Yeah, you've told me about
it. Wash my hands, get a rag, and wipe it clean. I'm serious, man. I'm just going to have to just...
Joe, you talk about touching stuff way too much.
But I do use intensive skin therapy Renew.
But I read...
I heard that at the airport the other day. Some kid was walking with his dad, and he wanted to know why all the guys had one hand that was really nice and soft, and the other one was kind of coarse and harsh.
Moving on.
I'm surprised the crickets didn't come off of that one.
Oh, they did. I read, I read 2 of the new hard case crime novels. One is Consumata, which was a Mickey Spillane book that Mickey Spillane didn't finish. And one of the things in Mickey Spillane's will was that any of the books that weren't finished, he wanted to be given to Max Allen Collins to finish up. Max Allen Collins, who's written comics in the past, including a short run on Batman, a comic called Ms. Tree. I've loved Max Collins's writing. He's actually he's the first kind of crime novels I read. Him and Andrew Vachas. So I read Consumata, and it was very easy to tell what part was written by Mickey Spillane and what part was written by Max Allen Collins. And it's a very 60s book. The other one was a book called Blood on the Mink by somebody who's best known for his science fiction, Robert Silverberg. Silverberg wrote crime novels in the 50s and early 60s until he became a name writer in science fiction. And both of them were good little diversions. They weren't anything that I would highly recommend. But if you're into crime novels, pretty much anything by Hard Case Crime is going to be good reading.
Are you suggesting they go out and steal them?
No, go to the library and check them out.
Oh, just same thing.
I also read a book called Hardcore History, the Unauthorized History of ECW. I've read tons of books and watched a bunch of documentaries on ECW. This one had the financial figures.
Mm-hmm.
So all the stories were ones I'd either already heard or had heard different versions of. But they had the financial figures of how many people were showing up at the ECW arena, how many people showed up, how many people bought the pay-per-views. I'll be honest, I thought the pay-per-views were much more popular than they were. Because those were the pay-per-views where we had to have them. And Joe would even keep a scorecard as watched the pay-per-views.
We used to put the ECF and Index online. I forget where we would put it. And we would have how many times Joey Styles would say, oh, my God.
How many chair shots?
Yeah. How many unusual entrances, interferences? It got tough when the hardcore matches came.
Because well, whenever New Jack showed up, it's like, okay, keyboard, guitar.
Cake pan, yeah. Garbage can. You know, and we kept a track
sheet,
of everything.
Cake pan, and while hospital pan.
Busy writing this down. You missed that. You missed this. And then I forget. I know I posted it online, but I don't remember where.
I don't either. But the thing that really struck me was they rarely got above a couple hundred thousand on their – they rarely got above 100,000 on their pay-per-views. Most of their, when they were going from city to city, they would get between 1,000 and 2,000 people showing up. Now, just for comparison's sake, at this time, WWF was getting around 400,000 people buying their pay-per-views. WCW was getting around 300,000 buying their pay-per-views. But both WCW and WWF, when they would come to town, even if it's a house show, they're pulling 20,000 people. And yet, what's the one that we remember most fondly? ECW. Keeping in the wrestling theme, I also read Mick Foley's latest book, Countdown to Lockdown, which he talks about his time in TNA building up to the Lockdown pay-per-view. His other books are really – his first one, Have a Nice Day, is one that I enjoyed, and I would give it to non-wrestling fans, and they enjoyed it. This one, if you're not a wrestling fan, you're not going to like it at all. It's very much behind the scenes. It's very much a diary of what he was doing at the time. And it's interesting to me to see – he talks about why he left the WWE. He talks about what's going on in TNA, and we know that his relationship with TNA did not end on a happy note. So as I was reading it, I was looking for, where are the problems? And there weren't any. He went on and on about how much he loved them. So there was something that happened. Sorry, I don't have anything comic related, but there are two things I am geeking on, and they're things that are coming out.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is the Man-Thing Omnibus.
Ooh.
It is a giant-sized Man-Thing, Joe.
Yeah, and the sad thing was, when we were doing the cable show, collecting stuff with Butts and Wits, I could not find a copy of that anywhere to share online. I so wanted to show off my giant-sized Man-Thing on cable.
I don't know. I've probably told this story before, but Steve Gerber was on the Howard the Duck email discussion list. And somebody brought up, the name Giant Size Man Thing. And, you guys at Marvel were probably giggling pretty hard about that. And Gerber said, until you wrote that, I did not see the double entendre. They were like, we got Giant Size Avengers, a Giant Size this, Giant Size Man Thing. And it was the first time he'd ever heard anybody make that joke.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But it's got the entire Gerber run. It's got a bunch of the other appearances everywhere. It doesn't have the second Man-Thing series, which was by Chris Claremont, which is good because it sucked. And it doesn't have the Micronauts story because Marvel doesn't have the rights to the Micronauts anymore. And yes, it's $100 because all the Marvel omnibuses are, you know, at least $100. But, oh, I have geek envy for that book. The other story I'm geeking on, and I'll just read it here. In 2000 ID, definitive Judge Dredd writer John Wagner, the guy who created it and wrote most of the stories that everybody know, is creating his magnum opus called The Day of Chaos. He has been building up to it since, they don't call them issues, they call them progs. Prog 1743, and they're on 1780 now. And the actual Day of Chaos story itself starts in about 2-3 weeks, I think. So might be a good time to start picking up the 2000 AD. They're bringing back the dark judges. They say that this will fundamentally change the series in a way that hasn't been done before, and it's John Wagner's last Judge Dredd story. So I'm kind of excited about that. It's been a long time since I've read a good Judge Dredd story. What are you freaking about, Joe?
I had it in my hands, and it slipped away. Damn snipers. One of the grails I'm looking for. It's a book so rare that even the creator of it didn't know it existed. I'm talking, of course, of Spawn the Savage Dragon number 1, which is the newsstand edition of Savage Dragon number 30. On the cover, it's got Spawn and Savage Dragon. And whereas the regular comic says set the Savage Dragon across the top and number 30, the newsstand edition has Spawn, the logo, the Savage Dragon logo, and our favorite little blurb, as seen on TV. This particular variant cover was so rare that when Eric Larson found it at the Mile High website, he bought it. And I've been searching high and low for one. They had one on eBay. Guy started it at $5. I went in, I bid $20. Figuring, okay, you know, the only people that are going to buy it are going to be nuts like me. And I got home from work and I was watching it for a couple hours. And, you know, eBay's got this thing where it gets under an hour. You got a real time clock that clicks down. And as it was clicking down, I figured, you know what? I'm going to boost that sucker to $30 just at the last, you know, 10 seconds just to get high. Because, I mean, you know.
Because he got high. Because he got high. Because he got high.
And when I got there, I put the bid in. And I lost. Some bitch bid higher than me. So I bid $30.69. And I ended up losing it to $31.99. And I'm not, you know, it's a book I really want. It's a variant cover that's hard to find. It's a legitimate one because this is one of those goofy ones nobody knew about. You know, for the longest time, Savage Dragon had newsstand coverage, and then eventually it got to the point where they just didn't make any money on the newsstand. And basically most of those comics are just the regular cover with the UPC code. This one actually had a variant. They're obviously trying to catch Spawn readers or Spawn watchers who are watching the movie or the HBO show. And remember there was a Savage Dragon cartoon, and I don't blame you if you don't. And, you know, as seen on TV. So, you know, I've got a picture of it on my Facebook page. I've put it up all over Facebook. Nobody has one for sale. If you do, give me a call because I really want one. So I was freaking about that. The other thing I'm freaking about, my ex-boss, Kip Holly, used to run TSA for 3 years. Got a book out, and I just had the title of it here called Permanent Emergency Inside the TSA and the Fight for the Future of American Security. And
Security,
get him out of here. He's been bugging that redhead. Pie comments. He basically goes on and he talks about things that I pretty much agree with. You know, TSA has kind of gotten on the idea that, you know, oh, we got to make sure nobody gets harmed. And we're like, no, we should be worried about things that can take down a plane or very quickly kill a lot of people, like toxins and things like that. We shouldn't worry about knives. We shouldn't worry about liquids. We shouldn't worry about shoes.
I'm worried about shoes. And I'm worried about knives.
You're worried about everything. But the bottom line is, you ain't
not worried about hot water anymore.
The first person tries to take down a plane with a knife is going to get hogtied, and if he's low enough, they're going to do a DB Cooper impersonation of him. It's a different world. He says some things like, you know, doesn't believe that airport security has to be privatized because, you know, in theory it works, but it doesn't offer any benefits because TSA is still going to be telling everybody what to do. And you, now you've turned over security to people who's only interested in profit. There's one of the big things, and this I'll attest to this personally, he talks about is that we're not really working with common sense or critical thinking, you know, because if you do something wrong in TSA, you get written up. So we're more worried about not doing anything wrong than we necessarily are, you know, back to the original mission, you know, stopping things that can take down a plane or very quickly kill a lot of people. I will probably pick up the book. I mean, it's a $27 hardcover. It's only 200 pages. It's a quick read. The only problem I have with it, Kip, why the hell didn't you do this shit when you were in charge? I mean, Christ, he writes a book and everybody's supposed to run out and buy it. And he's just hogpiling on the problems. I mean, some of it he mentions, you know, it's political. The first person, you know, if you could get a politician with enough to quote Vince McMahon, grapefruits, to actually say, hey, you know what? We're going to not ban knives anymore. Well, you know, sooner or later, someone's going to get hurt by being stabbed by a knife. Again, it's not going to take down a plane. You're not going to kill a lot of people, but somebody could get hurt. He says that's not supposed to be our job. That politician who's got enough gespatzes to actually recommend that is going to be voted out. He's soft on terrorism. You know, it's just one of those things. You know, it's not going to happen until, because the first person who suggests anything meaningful is going to be labeled soft on terrorism. I don't care if it's a Republican. I don't care if it's a Democrat. That's just the way the political game is played. And I'm also not one that gets obsessively worried about it because really outside the airport, TSA's got nothing. They got nothing. I'm sitting in my hotel room. I'm talking smack. What the hell is that with binoculars looking in here? Hey, I got my pants on. Shit, hang on. I'm going to shut the curtains. That's what I'm freaking on. What are you freaking on, Corey?
I'm freaking on the fact that I might not be able to make it to Free Comic Book Day.
On things and shit. I'm sorry. What? You're home. You should be able to get to Free Comic Book Day.
I got an overnight.
Yeah, well, when you're done overnighting, go get some free comics and go home and pass out. Priorities, man. Priorities.
So we're going to talk about Free Comic Book Day. And Joe's going to be driving. And that's actually, it's going to be our Tales from the Shop as well, because I've got a story about Free Comic Book Day, and I'm going to ask Joe about Free Comic Book Day. So, Joe, when did Free Comic Book Day start?
I think we'll get this up before it, but it's May 5th, 2012. Free Comic Book Day is an annual promotion. It's held in independent comic book stores. It was created by a retailer, Joe Fields of Flying Color Comics. He was the one who suggested it. He brainstormed the event And it started in 2002, after I sold my big comic store. And it's coordinated by Diamond Comic Book Distributor. If you pick up the last couple months of previews, in the front of it, they have a list of all the comics and all the companies that are going to be involved in Free Comic Book Day. And son of a bitch, hang on a second. I got the wrong previews. That damn things all look alike to me. Previews this, preview that. I'm just tired of this crap. Oh, here we go. And I'm just going to give an idea of some of the stuff they're doing. If you look, I guess, in the April issue of previews. And, I mean, it's a lot of stuff. It's always the first Saturday in May. It'll be May 5th.
And it's always the same day as a – same weekend as a major Marvel movie, because they've pretty much got a movie coming out first weekend in May for the next 5-6 years. Yeah. They already have them planned.
Yeah, and it's usually a big event, and we'll talk a little bit about this as we get closer in Tales of the Shop. But, I mean, I'm just looking. They got gold sponsors, you know, Bongo Comics, Boom Studios. They'll be previewing their Peanuts and a book called Adventure Time in flipbooks. Bongo Comics will have a Bongo Comic free-for-all where they cover Simpsons, Futurama. On the other side will be a SpongeBob. There'll be a Star Wars Serenity flipbook from Dark Horse. DC Comics has one called The New 52 Number 1. It's kind of an exclusive look at what's happening. Marvel Comics will have a, I think this is a launch issue. It'll call Avengers Age of Ultron Point 1. And this will be getting people going for the high-stakes Avenger event with a battle between the Avengers and the Intentsia, I can't even say it, the Return of S.W.O.R.D. and the Disappearance of Spider-Woman. I know, Corey, you're a big Yo Gabba Gabba fan. Omni's going to have a free comic book for you. Image Comics will have a 20 Image comic anniversary anthology.
Wait, they're putting out a 20th anniversary during their 20th year?
I know.
I'm frightened. Hold me.
Okay, you did shower. Come here. Oh, sorry. Anyways, there's more gold sponsors. Archie, Arachnia, IDW. And then you get into these silver sponsors. Again, Archie Comics will have Sonic Hedgehog, Zombie Kid from Antarctic Press, Boom Studios will have the Hypernaturals, DC Comics will have the DC Nation Super Sampler Superman Family Adventure Flipbook. There'll be a Spider-Man Season 1. I mean, oodles and oodles of comic books. Fangraphics will have Walt Disney, Donald Duck Family.
Oodles.
There will be a WizKid Marvel Hero Click Thor figure for some of the stores that do
oodles.
Gaming.
I just like saying oodles.
I know. Say it one more time, because there are oodles.
Oodles.
Oodles. A plethora of fun. Most, what they do is the comic books are offered, when I remember it, they were anywhere from 20 cents to a dollar, depending on the book and the publisher. Obviously, Marvel DC can do it at about 20 cents. Some places do it as low as 12 cents, you know, and they sometimes they'll give away, posters, keychains, whatever. There's usually a tie-in, you know, if you order X amount of this, of the gold books and X amount of the silver books, they'll list you on the free comic book. Freecomicbookday.com page, or they might give you some extra freebies. There's usually, like, at this time you could get bags, those plastic bags with your logo on one side, Free Comic Book Day on the other, and the event. There'll be t-shirts, there's hats, all sorts of fun things. It's a major deal. It's a lot of fun. Is it effective? Well, I'll give you my experience, and then we can talk into some of the other comic shops. I mean, when I had 2 years in Free Comic Book Day when I owned the small shop, Crazy Comics, and stuff. The stuff was important, because you're nothing without stuff. Or a website, either way.
or getting stuffed.
Yes, and that's
Wait, we're not doing episode 69.
No, we've already been stuffed. But, you know, the more enlightened stores would usually set up and make an event out of it. I had the little 500 square foot shop. What I would do is I would have a sale going. And the 2 years I was there, I made as much at the sale day as I did in a normal week. So that was almost like having an extra day. I would order pretty much everything. I would lay it out and you come in, pick anything you want. I mean, if there were some things that were more adult orientated, which most of the time Free Comic Book Day tends to shy away from, I would always put it aside. I do remember what the years that I did it, and that would have been 2005, 2006. They actually had an action figure, and I think it was for Stargate. And I was one of the only stores that carried it because, you know, we carried action figures. As a sidebar, I had about a dozen of these things left over, and I sold them on eBay for like about $15 to $20 a piece. So
hey,
you can never tell. Most of the free comic books don't have an after value. The only other thing I know that went up, I think last year's Peanuts Zero went up in value because that was the first Peanuts books since the 1960s when Dell did it. And so a lot of peanut collectors wanted it. You know, it was almost the same phenomenon when Barbie comics came out. They came out, comic fans did a big yawn, and then the Barbie collectors found them and went insane over them. Now, I'm going to talk about the source, quite possibly our favorite store, one of our favorite stores, not only because they order everything, but they make a major, major league event out of it. They have a big clearance sale in the back. They have costume characters show up, and the same guys who show up at the Spring Con. Do you remember what their name is, Corey? They actually have a name. You can actually call them if you were looking to like have comic book characters show up at your event and stuff. And
I didn't know they had a name.
Yeah, I will. You know, I will.
I know that Superman is Greg, but now I've just given out Superman's secret identity.
Yeah, and I just gave away Batman's. I'm always ribbing them because I'm putting stuff online. But you know, and I hopefully one of these guys are listening, and if you feel free, put a link up on our Facebook page, the official Crazy Comics and Stuff podcast page,
which you should like.
We like link. Yeah, you should like
or
you
friend.
We only have
whatever you do.
We only have 62 followers, and it hasn't gone up or down lately, so we haven't torqued anybody off or added anybody. But
we want 69 followers.
When we went into the old source, I went with there were 2 days, two different times I went. I know one day you, me, and was it Dana or did we drag Holly along?
Oh, I don't remember.
Because we went to the source.
It was Holly. That's right.
We went to the source and packed. We went, they opened at 10. We went at 11. It was a smart move because people were lined up around the block. And when we got there, I think Burl was handing out bags. And they do something smart. They have, like I said, the bag with everything for everybody and the bag specifically designed for kids. And as I mentioned before, you heard some of the things I was listing off that are just, you know, for the kids. I mean, you've got Donald Duck. You've got DC Adventures. They're a small line. You've got Peanuts, Yo Gabba Gabba, SpongeBob. So they would make two different bags. You know, this is for the kids. The idea being you're going to read these books. You'd be interested enough. You're going to come back and try them. And Corey and I, last couple of years, when we get our bag of swag, we'll look through them and talk about things we're looking forward to. From the source, we went over to Uncle Sven's because that's where I buy my comics normally. And they had a smaller line, but again, we were able to get in and get out. We visited, what was that comic book store that closed?
I don't remember.
It was down on Hennepin Avenue. I can't remember. Double Danger Comics. That's what it was.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, they were.
They're gone now.
They had it where you could go and they had them all lined up, pick up whatever you're interested in. We went to Dreamhaven. Now, Greg wasn't involved with it because he wasn't selling a lot of new comics, but he had old stuff that you could sample. When I had the Crazy Store, or when Free Comic Book Day started in 2000, I remember going from the source and picking up the swag and having lots of fun. And then I went over to Hot Comics, the store that was mine. And they had, it's kind of low key. The books were there. Nobody's really picking them up. Whoop, wasn't much of a success. How did Christie, when she did Christie Comics, how did she do Free Comic Book Day? Do you recall?
Yeah, she went whole hog on it. She had a sale, but the thing was, where she was located in North St. Paul, they shut that street down every Friday night and have almost like a street carnival. They had the booths that sell
cars.
Elephant ears.
Cars. And
yeah, they had classic cars and
mini donuts, hot mini donuts.
Yep, and vendors and all this stuff. And it was always a Friday night. And it was the Friday night. The first one was the Friday night before Free Comic Book Day. So what she did, she took all the free comics that were things that people would know about. You know, Spider-Man, Batman, the kid stuff, the Archie stuff, the media tie-ins. And she had those out. And she had 50% off back issues and 25% off new issues. And I helped out at her shop on Fridays, just like I did Joe's. And people came in and it was busy and it was crazy and it was fun. And it was just me working because Christy didn't show. So there was a point where we had a line in the store that, you know, went around and kind of went back on itself, and I'm ringing frantically, and all I could think is, there were two things I was thinking. First was, gosh, it's annoying that Christy didn't show up. You know, I understand that she's got another job, but she should be here for this, and she said she would. And the second thing was, my son would come with me to the shop every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd kind of blown off coming to the shop that week because he was, you know, chasing some girl. And all I could think is, I should have promised him money.
Money is good when you're chasing girls.
But it was a lot of fun because there were all these people, half of which would say, I didn't even know they still made comics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had the few people who were like, what's the most expensive comic you got here? And there wasn't a whole lot of that. So.
No.
But it was a lot of fun because you had people who weren't buying comics. Now, the problem I have with Free Comic Book Day and most comic shops is it's a big deal, but I rarely see people who aren't comic book fans. And Free Comic Book Day has kind of become, one, this big gift for comic fans. Hooray, that's great. But the comics are more promotional for what's coming up. Which is good too, because Free Comic Book Day is kind of focused on the people who are already fans. But I'd like it if they focused a little more on, hey, here's a good comic that, here's Spider-Man, here's who he is, here's what he does, here's what's different between what's in the movies and the TV show in here. Or, you know, here's DC with their 52, maybe they're going to do more toward that. But I'd like it if it were more of an outreach program, because right now it really feels like a gift for comic book fans. And that's fine. I like gifts, especially now after paying for a new water heater.
So the timing is extraordinary.
Yeah. The one thing about it is they always, as Joe said, they always do it the first weekend in May. And Marvel has kind of latched on to the first weekend in May.
Yeah.
After Spider-Man came out in 2002.
Damn smart of them.
Because Spider-Man was going to be first weekend in May 2002. And they started Free Comic Book Day to kind of feed off that publicity. And I do remember there was the theater I saw Spider-Man at. They had this stack of, reprints of Ultimate Spider-Man number one. And they were the ones that were made for Free Comic Book Day, because they said, Free Comic Book Day! And they had a place where the comic shop could stamp their name and address on it. And they had. And they just had a monster stack of these. And if you bought a ticket for Spider-Man, you got a comic book. And Ultimate Spider-Man number one is a really good introduction to comics. It's done in a way that if you've never read a comic before, you can figure out, okay, what panel do I read next? It's a good introduction to Spider-Man. I really liked it. So I didn't make it to when you had Free Comic Book Day at the small shop. Was it very busy? Because I know you were way out of the way.
Not particularly, because like I said, we were just small shop, and the people who came in were people, in my opinion, that knew I gave away everything. I didn't have, I had a sale. I had one guy show up 2 years that he didn't buy nothing. He just picked up everything. And I'm like, whatever, it's all good. Never saw him again. I did have people come in. I had a lot of times kids would come in. I'm like, dude, I'm giving away free comics. And I had a bunch of exclusive stuff because I had some educational comics that some guy had given me that they gave away at school. So I had extra things to give away. I would give away all the leftover previews. The kids would go around and tell their kids they'd come in, and they're like, hey, you sell magic too, don't you? Yeah. So then once I looked at the end of the day, I took all of the things I bought for Free Comic Book Day and I used it. I put it under promotion. I treated it as an expense, and my tax guy was like, well, you probably could just leave it in your inventory too. And I'm like, well, yeah, but this is actual stuff I would not have bought just to give away. Normally the only other things I had occasionally when I did Crazy Comics, for a while there was a trend in comics. It's kind of disappeared. We got a brand new issue of XYZ. Try it for a quarter. Try it for a buck. Try it for 50 cents. Well, I had 50 regular subscribers at Crazy Comics, so I would buy like 25. I'd buy 50 comics, and I'd put one in everybody's box. Say, hey, this is a freebie. Give it a try. And the extras I would just put out on a freebie rack for people to buy or just, try. So I had all these extra that I would put out, all I know is when we added up, I did on Free Comic Book Day what I normally would do in a week. So that was like, it was like an extra pay week, if you want to put it that way, or however you want to think about it. And like I said, at the source, I went 1 year just with Holly, and we did the same thing with the source, and then went to Uncle Sven's. We went in, we got our bag of comics, we looked around, I looked through the stuff. The line was huge. It would have been, and these weren't people necessarily buying stuff that was in the garage sale that they were clearing out. These were people just buying regular stock.
Yeah.
And it was crazy. I mean, I didn't buy anything at the source that day because the line was so long, but this year they've got that brand new store that's humongous, and I'm dying because I'm going to be here and not be able to go. And I would love to see how that's going to be. I mean, people are probably just waiting. Not only we're going to go see Avengers, we're going to get a Free Comic Day, we're going to check out the source's new store. So, and the other reason Corey and I like the source is because if we ask, they will probably keep a bag of swag aside for us because, like I said, I won't get there till I'm out of here. And Corey, he's going to be semi-conscious, covered with old people kisses. So, it's just one of those things. I mean, my guess is, I will probably hit a store or two around here for free.
I was going to say, what would be fun if you went to Jay and Silent Bob's?
The only problem is I get off work at 1 o'clock. By the time I got ready to go, it would probably be too late, but depending on the weather. Right now, the big thing for me is just the weather. If I'm going to be running around outside, I ain't going to be running in the rain. Like a couple weeks ago.
Because you're too much of a pussy to buy an umbrella?
No, because I'm usually, comic books and water don't mix. And no matter how tightly I hold them, some
bags.
yeah, they're in bags, but you know, I'm going to be carrying them and I might be dropping them. And it's like, yeah, it starts raining. I usually just head back or, you know, and like I said, last weekend wasn't so much a rain, but as a deluge. And Lord knows they need it because they're like, they were in a severe drought situation and they had wildfires running up and down the East Coast. The type of wildfires usually reserved for Texas towns and California. So hopefully they got enough of a soaking. And with all the rain that dropped, they're still 8 inches below what they should be. So me, I didn't care. I just stayed at home. I don't even think I wore pants last weekend.
That's something I didn't need to know. So, Joe, what did you learn this week?
That the Mob Museum is now open. There are two sides to every story, and then there's the truth. Discover for yourself in downtown Las Vegas. That just happened to be the annoying pop-up blurb that popped up while I'm trying to, you know, figure the 10 things to consider when owning an annuity.
Oh, God. I learned a few things this week. First is that the new Teen Titans Omnibus, the second volume, is missing an issue. It was supposed to include issues 21 through 45, which is, I actually started reading New Teen Titans. This is the one by Wolfman and Perez. I started reading it with issue 17, and by issue 21, I had become a DC fan because the book was that good. Perez's art had never been better, and Wolfman really had a handle on these characters. And I knew nothing about the DC universe. I remember I saw Roy Thomas and Gary Conway as the writers of Batman, and I went, so that's where Roy Thomas went. And I picked up New Teen Titans because it had the Wolfman and Perez, and I'd like with Wolfman, oh, I wondered what happened to him after he quit Spider-Man. Perez was actually working both companies, so he still had stuff coming out at Marvel, I believe. And then I picked up the Legion of Superheroes because I couldn't remember. I know that DC has a comic that's a lot like the Avengers that has all their heroes in one big team. I think it's the Legion. And I picked it up and it's, no, this is set 1,000 years in the future and I don't know any of these characters, but this is really cool. But it was solicited as having issues 21 through 45. It actually collects 21 through 37 and then 39 through 45.
What's in that magic issue?
That is the Who is Wonder Girl story. So maybe they're going to put it in the next one. I don't know. Kind of confusing. So in a way, I really, if they're going to put it in the next volume because, well, it fits better story-wise, I don't like that. If you're reprinting this stuff, especially in omnibus form, it should be, here's the first 20, here's the next 20, here's this. It'd be like if you picked up Marvel Masterworks and they had Fantastic Four 1 through 5 and then 7 through 11. Why don't you have 6? Well, because that's when Submariner and Doctor Doom teamed up, and we want to put that in the supervillain team-up book because it's the first supervillain team-up at Marvel. Now, reprint the damn book. And the other thing I learned was the big man thing.
Sorry.
I got to be honest. I got real excited when I saw that. You can make all the jokes you want now, Joe.
You know I'm going to, but I'm trying to keep this. We already did show 69. I'll save it for show 169.
There's something about swamp monsters and comics that bring out the best in creators. Look at Swamp Thing. You had the first 10 issues by Len Wein and Bernie Wrightson, which are classic. They did all of the classic monsters in those 10 issues. Some of the best drawn and written books of the early 70s. Then Alan Moore came on, and he did a run that changed comics. Over at Marvel, you had Steve Gerber. he came on, he was given the Bookman thing after, I think, 3 or 4 issues, and he just made it his own. And I've talked in the past, it is my favorite Silver Age Marvel comic. There are some things that are a little goofy, where Gerber is, his satire is not exactly subtle. I think I mentioned in the past, there's a construction company that wants to drain the swamp and build condos, and it's owned by a man named F.A. Schist. That's right, owned by fascist. But the thing that Gerber does that works so well, he doesn't focus on the monster. He focuses on the other people. You'll find story after story, which is a great human interest story, that happens to have Man-Thing in it, and Man-Thing is the kind of the catalyst for the story. Most people aren't going to be able to afford the omnibus. I would say Free Comic Book Day, one of the things that they do on Free Comic Book Day, they have huge sales. Pick up Essential Man-Thing 1 and 2.
Mm.
And it's a lot wordier than you're used to with modern comics. But the art by Mike Ploog is beautiful. And actually, I like it better in black and white than in color.
Ploog!
You've got some other artists who are in there, do some amazing work.
But none as fun to say as Ploog!
So that's what I learned this week.
I'm sorry, what were you? Well, summarize. Giant-sized Man-Thing.
A huge giant-sized Man-Thing. Over 1,000 pages.
Omnibus by giant-sized Man-Thing.
Omnibus Man-Thing isn't as fun as giant-sized Man-Thing.
Yeah, that's true. That's pretty much how we see it, girls.
Oh, dear God.
Episode
69, part 2?
Let's do what Marvel does. 69, episode 69.1.
Well, next week, maybe we'll talk about Free Comic Book Day. Maybe I will stay awake. And my only worry is, usually if I stay awake and then when I'm driving home from someplace, it's like, I am so tired, I'm going to fall asleep. What? Oh, my God. Leaf blows in front of the card. Oh, my God, I hit a cow.
And he's a meat hater.
I don't hate meat. It's just if I eat it, I get sick.
Yeah.
He's a meat hater. I like the Kardashians. I don't hate the Kardashians, but if I watch them on TV, I get sick.
Yeah.
And on that note, we would like to remind everyone that the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic you like the most.